Mark chapter 2. We've been studying in 1 Corinthians about the simplicity of the gospel, about simply preaching Christ and Him crucified without wisdom of words. I want to try to do that this morning. I want to preach what Christ declared here, very simply what He declared. Let's look at Mark 2, verse 14. As Christ passed by, He saw Levi. This is Matthew, the Apostle Matthew. He saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the receipt of custom. Men would come in from wherever they had been, and they'd come into a city or a place, and there'd be a booth there called the receipt of custom. You had to pay a tax. It's kind of like coming in or out of New Jersey. You got to pay a tax. And then once you get in, you got to pay a tax. If you stand up, you got to pay a tax. If you sit down, you got to pay a tax. If you buy, you got to pay a tax. If you sell, you got to pay a tax. And Matthew was the one to collect the taxes. And for every dollar he got for the civil rulers, he kept two for himself. He was a thief. He was the worst kind of sinner, the sickest sinner there is. He was covetous, a thief, a robber, making plenty of money, setting his nest on high, no reason whatsoever to turn from what he was doing because he had it made. He was wealthy and he was provided for and he thought he was secure. Everything was going his way. Watch this. And Christ said unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. Now what did we just witness right there? With two words, Christ the preacher made Levi leave everything. With two words, he made him whole from his sickness. With two words, he made a disciple. Just speaking two words, follow me. And Christ made this man a new creation. Christ is the physician. He's the physician. He's the preacher. He's Jehovah Rapha. I am the Lord that healeth thee. If He speaks like that today through this gospel, you'll be healed. And you'll follow Him. You'll leave everything else and follow Him. He said, the Holy Spirit is upon me. And He said, God has anointed me to preach glad tidings. He preached when He walked this earth. He's preaching now. And He says, and He's anointed me to bind up the brokenhearted. Not just those that have a sentimental broken heart. Not just those who have broke up with their loved one. Those that have a heart crushed in sin. He came to send me to heal those that cannot heal themselves and know they can't heal themselves. That's who He is, the physician. It says here, He passed by. When He passed by, He saw Levi. Now, every step Christ took when He walked this earth was a step toward one of His chosen people. He didn't take any steps in vain. He never went one way and said, well, I guess I should have went the other way. Everywhere He went was a step toward passing by one of His children and saving one of His children. I want you to look now back there at Mark 1 and look at verse 16. It says, as He walked by the Sea of Galilee, this wasn't just a stroll by the seashore. He had a purpose. He saw Simon and Andrew. They didn't see Him. He saw them. He came to where they were. It says there, verse 17, and Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I'll make you become fishers of men. You see, that's life. Remember Peter said, you have the words of eternal life. Peter experienced those words of eternal life. When he speaks those words, he's not just making a suggestion to you. When he speaks those words, with those words come the life and come the spirit and the power and the strength to obey what he says, and you won't do otherwise. Watch what happened. Straightway, they forsook their nets and followed him. You know what it was to forsake their nets? What's your prize, most prized possession that you think, I could not give this up? That's what their nets were to them. That was their livelihood. That was their business. That was their way they were going to feed their families and feed themselves and provide themselves with things. Christ made them leave it just like that. Just by speaking. Look at this. And when he had gone a little further, knew right where he was walking, right where he was headed, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the ship mending their nets. And straightway, he called them, and they, look at this now, they left their father in the ship with all the hired servants and went after him. Now look on down then. He came to a man with an unclean spirit, in verse 23. He came into the synagogue. There's a man in the church house, and this man's there, and he's got an unclean spirit. Possessed. He cannot free himself. Every sinner lost in sin's got an unclean spirit. And you can't free yourself from it. Now watch this. There was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, said, let us alone. That's a devil saying that. Let us alone. What have we to do with thee? Jesus of Nazareth knew who he was, didn't he? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. The devils know, and they believe, and they tremble. They know and tremble. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were all amazed. This is Christ we're talking about. Then on purpose, he's God. His scripture says he's God the Father. Remember that in Isaiah? He's the Father, the everlasting Father. Christ said, all the Father giveth me are going to come to me. I'm going to draw them, he said. Now look here. He drew this leper in verse 40. There came a leper to him. Now look how he came. He came beseeching him, kneeling down to him, saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean. He didn't say anything about his own will. He didn't say anything about how he was going to let Christ do something. He said, if you will, you can make me clean. This man had a need, didn't he? This man was sick. Look here. Both those men were. That one he cast the spirit out of, and this one here too. And look. And Jesus moved with compassion and put forth his hand and touched him and said unto him, I will, be thou clean. He cleansed him. On purpose, he passed into Capernaum. And he drew men that were carrying a stretcher that had a man sick of the palsy, paralyzed man on that stretcher. And he draws those men to him. And he says there, and he said to that man, verse 5, chapter 2, verse 5, he said, thy sins be forgiven thee. He's the only one that can say that. And they didn't believe he could forgive sins. They didn't believe they said nobody can forgive sins but God. Well, he's God, and he's the atonement. He's the sufficient atonement to forgive sins. So he said, forgive. So to prove it to him, look down here. He said, verse 10, but that you may know the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go to thy way into thy house. And immediately he arose. He healed those people just by speaking to them. These men that were fishermen, sick, wrapped up in their work, wrapped up in their employment, wrapped up in their earthly ties to their father. That man who's sick with the spirit that had him possessed. That man sick of leprosy. This man sick of palsy. He healed all those men. Then he comes to this man sick, sitting at the receipt of customs. No way that man would have ever left where he was. No way he would have ever believed on Christ or believed God or followed after Christ. He'd have never even seen his need of Christ had Christ not passed by him. But Christ passed by him. He passed by him and with two words, follow me. Follow me. He healed that sinner Levi. And Luke says he left all. He left all. In his heart, without removing a muscle, he left all. And then he arose and he followed Christ. Then Levi, this is Matthew, he made a feast. Now he wanted all his former friends, all these publicans that he rubbed shoulders with, was friends with, and all these other sinners and harlots that he knew, and he just dwelt with folks who were the basest, most awful people on the planet. That was who Levi's friends were. I mean bad folks. I mean evil folks. I mean wicked, horrible, well-known sinners. That's the only people Levi hung out with. When you're in his trade, that's your friends. And that's who he hung around with. And he invited those people into his house. And he had a big house because he made lots of dough. And he invited them to his house to sit down at his table and have a meal because he wanted them to meet this one who made him whole. He wanted them to meet Christ. So they sat down. Now look at verse 15. It came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat in Levi's house, many publicans and sinners sat also together with Jesus and with his disciples. For there were many, and they followed him. These are well-known, despised sinners. Well-known sinners, harlots and publicans. The two most despised people on the planet. And they sat right at the same table, right beside the Son of God, and ate. And he ate right there, sitting beside him, with them, and all his disciples. You see, everybody that he sought was a sinner. Everybody that he drew to him was a true sinner. And everybody that came to him, a sinner seeking mercy, he healed them. He never turned one of them away. He sat there with these sinners. That's who he associated with. Not to condone their sin, not to follow them in their sin, to save them out of their sin. Now look at this. There was somebody watching, though. They didn't like this. Look at verse 16. And when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eat with publicans and sinners, they said unto his disciples, how is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? These were well-known folks too. Scribes and Pharisees, they were well-known people too. But they were well-known for being always in the synagogue. They never missed a church service. They were well known for always doing good religious works. They were well known for being the very most righteous and moral and upstanding citizens there were. That's what they were known for. I wonder how they said this. It seems like it turned their stomachs almost. How is it? How can he stomach to sit there that close with these publicans and sinners? Perhaps they said it like this. How is it he let himself be seen in public with these publicans and sinners? And I know it's certain they meant this. How is it that he prefers to sit with those awful sinners and publicans rather than with holy and righteous people like we are? You know how God says he regards that spirit? Now, let me tell you something. You may not be religious, and you may hate my gospel. And when you sit back and say something like, see there, that one that professes to be a believer, he messed up. He got angry. Look how he talked to his wife. Or he stumbled and did this sin or that sin. Look, I knew what he was like. You're saying the exact same thing. This is what we are by nature, these scribes and Pharisees. Self-righteous, haughty, arrogant. Looking down our nose, do-gooders by nature. Every time you see somebody in the media do something and you say, I wouldn't do that. Every time you see somebody in the media say, how dare they do something like that? We ought to protest that. That's just not right. And go down the road and 5 minutes later do the same thing they did. Christ, God said this. They say, stand by thyself. Come not near me. For I am holier than thou. Men are always talking about how you can get holy and a little more holy and a little more holy. That's the one place you're going to find in Scripture God speaking of becoming a sinner, becoming holy or a little holier or a little holier. And it's not to say that it can be done. It's to condemn those who say they do it. It's to condemn those who say, I'm holier than you are. God said this. These are smoke in my nose, a burning, stenching smoke in my nose, a fire that burneth all the day. And you know what he's talking about? When they didn't have garbage dumps like we have and all the civilized ways of taking care of the waste, they just took it out there and burned it. And it's all that stinking waste being burned that just stinks. Like he said, that's what that smells like to me. Look what the Lord said. I want you to see what the Lord said now. Mark 2:17. I got to hurry. Jesus heard, and he said to them, they that are whole. Now pay close attention to this. Verse 17. They that are whole have no need of thee, physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Now, I want you to try to put yourself in a particular place. I want you to imagine right now, it may be a little difficult, it's early in the morning, but try to do this. Try to put yourself in this place. Imagine right now, you know you have a fatal disease. And you're on your deathbed. And you're just a few breaths away from finding out whether my gospel's true or not. You're just a few minutes away from meeting God in judgment. Would you need Christ? All the other things that are so important right now to you, would they be important? None of that would be important. You'd have one need, and that's Christ. One need. If Christ were to speak to you through my gospel, if he called you to me to your bedside, and it's Christ speaking to you in your heart, would you hang on every word of my gospel? Would you hang on every word coming out of my mouth? Now listen to me carefully. That's true of everybody here right now. You have a fatal disease. It's called sin. And you are on your deathbed. It's just a few short breaths, and you're going to meet God. There's no doubt about that. Do you know what the problem is? You don't believe that. We don't believe that. We're healthy, so we think, oh, we got plenty of time. I read this yesterday. Somebody sent me this. Good health is merely the slowest possible rate at which one can die. You're going to die. I'm going to die. But the one reason men don't cry out to Jesus Christ right now for mercy is this. They have no need of Christ. They have no need of Christ. Only true sinners need Christ. There's very few true sinners in the world. Oh, everybody's a sinner. But only very few that know I'm a true sinner. I'm a sinner. Christ says, they that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. Whole people don't go to a doctor. Whole people don't need a physician. It's just people that are sick. Think about churches today. Be honest with me. Think about this. I hate this. All these gimmicks and all this junk that churches are using to try to get people in the pews and to keep people in the pews. You ever seen an emergency room use any tactics like that? Have you? They don't have to. You know why? Sick people seek a physician. Sick people know I've got to have the physician. That's why. Now, the reason so few need Christ is most think they're whole. Most think they're righteous. Most think they don't have a need. But now, hear Christ. He said, I didn't come to call them. You mean Christ didn't come to save everybody? That's what he said. I did not come to call those who think they're righteous. I came to call sinners to repentance. Now, first of all, let's look at that first part right there. I didn't come to call the righteous. He was saying that to these self-made religious men who thought they were righteous because of something they had done. They were self-righteous, self-wise, self-holy, and they wouldn't come to Christ because they didn't need Christ. If men say they're sinners, which very few will, but if they do say they're sinners, they don't mean what the Scriptures means by sinners. Let me tell you what the Scripture means by a sinner. A sinner is somebody that cannot give themselves spiritual life. A sinner is somebody that cannot make themselves believe whenever they choose. A sinner can't do it. A sinner cannot make themselves holy simply by changing their outward behavior. Holiness is a heart work. Holiness deals with a new nature, having a new nature. A sinner can't make himself more and more holy by his outward works. A sinner is somebody that can't make himself righteous by obeying the law of God. In fact, he can't even obey the law of God. A sinner is somebody who cannot even make him believe. He can't make himself believe. Most people, though, they just need Christ to make up for their shortcomings. That's all. That's not a sinner. That's not a sinner. Those are vain thoughts. Men that are like that are not sinners, and they don't need Christ. I'm telling you the truth now. They don't need Christ. They don't need Him. They're whole, and they don't have a need of the physician. All right, look at this next part. Christ says here, I came to call sinners to repentance. Who has a need of Christ? They that are sick. True sinners. He said, go ye and learn what that meaneth. And he's talking about an Old Testament scripture. And he said, I will have mercy and not sacrifice. Because I came to call the righteous, not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Christ didn't come to merely help righteous folks complete their righteousness. He didn't come to help folks who are making sacrifices and trying to buy their way and earn their way into heaven. He didn't come to make up for what they can't do. He didn't come to do that. Not at all. Mercy means salvation must be entirely of God. It must be entirely of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can't add any sacrifices. We can't add any work. We can't add any merit, or it ceases to be mercy. The Scripture says this, if it's by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. So when it comes to saving a sinner, Christ means He came to save the lost, the dead, the helpless, those that cannot do anything for themselves, not now, not tomorrow, not the next day, not after He converts them, not 20 years down the road, not when they face their deathbed, not ever they can't save themselves. That's a sinner. That's who He came to save. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And Paul said, and I'm the chief. Do you know, can you say I'm the chief of sinners? They're not a greater sinner than me. I can tell you that. I told Brother Scott going out of here Thursday night, if I fall away, and prove to be a castaway, I'll be the last one to be surprised about it. Because I know I'm the chief of sinners. It wouldn't surprise me in the least. A true sinner in every way is helpless to help himself. He's unholy. He can't give himself life. He can't give himself a new nature. He's unrighteous. He can't keep the law. He can't justify himself from his sins. He's in bondage. He can't even give himself the desire to want to bow to Christ. He can't give himself the desire to want to hear the gospel or to hear the gospel. He can't do anything. The natural man receiveth not the things of God because they're foolishness to him. He doesn't think he needs him. It takes Christ to redeem it. Levi couldn't leave that place. Levi couldn't let go of what he was doing. Levi couldn't give himself a new heart. It took Christ coming to him and bringing him out of that bondage. He's the Redeemer. A true sinner needs Christ to be all in all. All in all. All. Mercy means Christ came to be the only and all our wisdom. He came to be our only righteousness and all the righteousness of His people. He came to be the only sanctification and all the holiness of His people. He came to be the only Redeemer and all the redemption of His people. He didn't come to be part and you part. He came to be all. He's all in all those He saves. As by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by one man's obedience shall many be made righteous. Now listen to this. I'm out of time, really. I got about 3 minutes. Let me say this. Everything about mercy exalts God. Now, do you hear me? Everything about mercy exalts God. Listen to this. I will be merciful to what? Their unrighteousness. And their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. You see how that exalts God and it abases the sinner. That's what men don't like about mercy. Mercy gives God all the glory for salvation and it makes us to know that the only thing we contribute to sin. That's it. Listen to how grace to the guilty exalts the Son of God. The law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, that as just like sin reigned unto death, even so might grace reign, mercy reign, through righteousness unto eternal life, and that by one man, the God-man, Jesus Christ the Lord. You see how it exalts Christ? It's by Him. Now listen to this. It excludes all merit. It prohibits any goodness in the object. Christ is a fountain. Open. Open. But He's not open for you to come and just dip your big toe in and wash it off and cleanse it. He's not open for you to come and just dip your elbow in and get a little dirt off your elbow. Christ is a fountain open for sinners who from the sole of their foot to the top of their head are nothing but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores that they cannot cleanse themselves. But He says, come to Me. Come to Me. And He says, though your sins be red like scarlet, though you are one big open wound from head to toe, you'll be white as snow. He cleanses everything. Listen to this. Eternal life is given to spiritually dead sinners. Spiritual sight given to spiritually blind sinners. Spiritual hearing given to spiritually deaf sinners. Liberty given to those in prison, in bondage. You see what I'm saying? It's not partial you and partial Him. It's all Him. He's all in every part of salvation. Now, listen to this. This is so critical because men don't do this today. Men don't preach this today. They'll say, okay, now we'll give him the fact that He has to call you. The truth, we'll give Him that. We'll give it to Him that He has to be your righteousness. We'll give it to Him He has to create a new heart in you. But now, when it comes to being holy and growing and becoming more holy, you got to do that. You got to go back to the law. No, sir. We do not come to Mount Zion to Christ for redemption and then go back to Mount Sinai for sanctification. we go to Christ and rest in Christ. He's the author and finisher of our faith. He's the beginning and the end, and all points in between. When He says, come unto me, all you that are heavy laden, He doesn't say, I'll carry part of your load, part of the way, then you can carry it part of the rest of the way. He says, come unto me, and I will give you rest. He's carrying you, your load, and everything about you, and you're not carrying anything. And the moment we look from Him to ourselves, we have ceased resting in Christ. We're trusting ourselves. And He's going to, but He's not going to let His child do that. He's going to save His child even from that. Because He's going to make us see we're saved by His life, not our life. Look at Romans 5. I'm going to end with this. Romans 5 and verse 6. I want you to hear what he says here now. This is so. Romans 5, 6. When we were yet without strength. What does without strength mean? That's not a brain teaser. It means what it means. We didn't have any strength. Christ died for the ungodly. Look down at verse 8. God commends His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Now that we're justified by His blood, by His death, we're going to go back to trusting ourselves? No, we're going to be saved from wrath by Him. Look, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. It's Him beginning to end. Him beginning to end. Now, with doctors, you got some who specialize in the brain, and some specialize in the hand, and some specialize in the foot. You got different specialists. Christ is no man can know every part of the body and work on it all. Christ is the physician who heals the whole part. He knows every ailment, every problem, and He's the cure for everything. His precious blood. His righteousness, His holiness, He's the cure. Now let me ask you this. Which one are you? Are you righteous or are you a sinner? Are you whole or are you sick? If you can do anything to save yourself, if you can add anything to your salvation from the first hour to your deathbed to the day you meet God in glory, if you can add something to it, to help Christ out, you don't need Christ. You're not a sinner. Now understand what I'm saying. You need Him, and you are a sinner, but you don't know you need Him, and you don't know you're a sinner. But if you can't do anything, if you can't do anything, if it's Him that has to even give you the understanding of your need, you're a sinner. And Christ said, I came to call sinners to repentance. Repentance from what? From you. From that ignorance you thought was wisdom. From those self-righteous works you thought was righteousness. From that self-sanctifying work you thought was holiness. From that bondage you called liberty. Repentance from you to faith in Him. Rest in Him. And don't look anywhere but Him. Believe on Him and rest in Him. I tell you this, if you know you're a sinner, He's already calling you to repentance. Rest in Him. Amen. Let's stand together, brethren. Father, thank You for Your Word. Make us to know, pass by, if You will. Make us to know, if You will. Make us to see our need. And make us whole. We're whole when we're joined to You and rest in You. Thank You, Father, for all this glorious Word and for showing us Christ. We pray that You make it stay with us now. Forgive us of our sins, Lord. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.